I'm not scared of dying. I'm scared of being a lifeless, ill-blessed, ready to go. Lyrical bullet to the head, full speed ahead, searching for the Atman. Soul bow, fighting the Samana's arrow. Stoic by nature, solo by nature. Solo, my flow goes, throws off the equilibrium. Ever going, it's the continuum. I like where it's headed, so I'm a continuum. Words on rim after sleep with rim. Third dream, I'm back to life. Back to TWS in this next episode. Welcome to the next episode of What is TWS?
Bars. Bars.
Welcome to episode 8. I guess we're going to call it Bars. Yeah, we're back again. Why not? We got to keep this content train going. Once again, you know the host, Rich Nerd.
Jay Flynn.
And we're back again. We're going to do something light for you like we said last time.
Yeah.
It's going to be all about love and hip hop.
I swear, black people, I'm going to give you a break this time around. We're going to celebrate blackness.
I don't know. You can probably be a devil's advocate on a hip hop top five too. So
I could. See, don't tell me, Rich. I try to be good. Don't send me back to that place.
We'll see how it happens. Yeah,
but we're going to do a straight hip hop episode. Like, you know, we're both hip hop lovers. We're both, I don't want to say former rappers, because I still got bars. I still go. We'll see. My producer brother will be here. I keep trying to pull Rich out of retirement. I sent him a track.
I think I wrote something for that track, actually.
Put the verse on it yet, though.
I wrote something for that.
We'll debut it here on What is TWF? White Pants Society. Bars. all right, so let's kind of get started. I didn't want to do something serious to start out, if I can get to my notes. I meant to talk about this in the last episode, but I don't know. Because I posted it in our men's group on Facebook. But there was a whole situation in, I believe it was Oxon Hill, back home, where some people were pretty much evicted out of their homes because of an unscrupulous property management company didn't pay utilities. And all of a sudden, utility, after owing millions of dollars in utilities finally got cut off. And it forced more than 100 families out of their homes. And one of the people on the ground there helping people and lending a hand is a brother I got a chance to know. We worked together a long, long, long time ago at the White House, no less. But yeah, my brother, Tavares Taylor. And he has a charity organization, Tavares Taylor Charities. And they're doing a lot of good, a lot of good. And every chance I get when I see, one of his programs or one of his initiatives that they're putting out there, I try to donate. And so I wanted to make sure I talked about that charity here on the podcast, use this platform if I have a couple people's ear, like to make sure that I put that out there and let people know about the good that he's doing and hope that people will back it and support. The website is ttcharities.org. I'm on the website right now. I know I donated during the haircut drive. They did a drive to get haircuts for kids going back to school. I know how I feel after I get a new haircut. So I thought that was dope. And, helping young kids, young men get a haircut before school, feel better about themselves. I know it makes me feel like a brand new man. I also donated during this drive to try to get moving trucks for the people who were displaced due to this unfortunate situation. He has a Once Upon a Time book program trying to promote literacy amongst children. There's a Suits for Success where they try to donate suits to young men's, young men, get them professional attire. For interviews and promote employment, we do a voter registration initiative. Just a lot of good work in the community. And definitely anytime people are hurting or people need help, I see him there. And you know, on the ground, getting involved and doing something. I know they're also, he's also pushing a project for the Flint, Michigan water issue. So yeah, you can go to the website, you can sign up for the newsletter, find out about the different programs that they have and different things that they're trying to do to help our people out. Again, you know, Tavares is a great guy. He's always been involved in trying to help and trying to do more to try to, you know, just support people and our people in particular. I talked to him before doing the podcast, told him I would be discussing his charity here, and asked him if there was anything in particular that he wanted me to push. And what he said to me was that he wants people to know that we need to support these things, support these grassroots organizations that are out here, you know, in the streets actually trying to do something, like to put our support that we are the only people that can help ourselves. Like when our people are hurting, we need to take care of our own. We need to get involved. And, you know, if you can't be there and help, at least, you know, lend support and donate, do what you can to help the people who are there and trying to help, you know. So let's make this a grassroots movement. Let's make this personal. Let's go out here and try to support, you know, one of our brothers who's doing something, you know, very positive and trying to uplift us all. You know, again, you know, if he was to go out and get a big corporate sponsor, you know, people would be yelling, you know, he was a sellout. So he's looking for the help from us. So if you can, check it out, ttcharities.org. I definitely hope, you know, I donate when I can, but it's not, you know, I'm not rich, so it's not a lot of money.
More than one, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would love to get this podcast off the ground so, you know, we can start donating some proceeds and doing some, you know, some good, you know, promotion for me and doing what we can to kind of help. Because, like I said, every time I see, you know, something pop up or any of these, you know, tragic incidents or people in need or people that could use some help, Tavares and his charity is there. Definitely doing a lot for children, doing a lot for young men, and doing a lot for us as a people. So ttcharities.org, please check it out. Please donate. It's a great cause. So that's my rant for this week.
I don't know. I kind of think I'm right on board with you with that one. It's hard to get people from outside of the community to want to contribute or to even understand why we need people to contribute to charities or causes or any type of programs that don't directly affect them. But the truth is we do need support, especially with movements like this. You know, people taking it upon themselves to give back to their own communities because they can see what's going on, as well as other people's communities. So I'm with Jared with this one. TT Charities, go ahead and, you know, support if you can.
Yeah. It's a dope movement, and let's be the people who support it and back it. Let's not have them have to resort to go out and try to find some corporate sponsorship. We can take care of ourselves. All right. So I wanted to get that said and make sure I big up Tavares while I had the opportunity. But this episode, my vision for this episode is just to, you know, so let's just talk about our love affair with hip hop. I love hip hop. I love the music. I love the culture. I feel like I've been a part of the culture at times, maybe a little disconnected right now. But
I was just about to say the same thing. I love hip hop. I feel like where we are now is taking a turn. Don't get it twisted, though. I mean, I don't think that we're only solely hip hop fans. I think a lot of music genres are bridging gaps right now. A lot of R&B is so intertwined with hip hop that can practically be looked at as the same thing. But I do have a big love affair with hip hop. Love R&B, love soul. It should make for a good conversation.
Yeah. All right, so back to my notes. This is actually the first time we tried to record multiple episodes in a day. So we're going to try to keep the energy level up. But we're already an episode in. This is like the second hour worth of recording, so bear with us. This is our first attempt at being productive. All right, so let's see. All right, let's start from day one. First memory, first hip hop memory. I'll let you go. I'll let you take this one first, man.
First hip hop memory. You know what? That's a tough one. I feel like when I immediately think of just hip hop and young, for some reason, Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang. I don't know why. Wu-Tang just pops in my head. Pops in my head. I don't know why. I remember being in junior high and everybody, Killer Bees, all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. And ODB dropping his album with shout out to ODB with his food stamp government issued ID as the cover of his album. That was great.
I bought this outfit that costed a lot of money. Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Yeah, I think Killer Bees. And then they had that dope ass Shaolin video. Like, I gotta say, first thought that comes to mind right now is Wu-Tang. Just Wu-Tang everything.
Yeah, I have to say my first memory, me and my sister watching The Box.
I'm trying to think of Bobby Simmons. Shout out. What happened to Bobby Simmons? Man. Video Music Box. The Box. What happened?
Hey, watching The Box. And I think my video back, the two videos I remember vividly was Wild Wild West. The Wild Wild West. Well, I remember that joint. And I remember, the Wild Wild West joint. That's Kumo D, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to live downtown. 120, nice, yeah. That's probably like my earliest memory is watching The Box, and not even really knowing what it was. It was just music like that. I don't think anybody
stop coming at you.
Yeah.
Every now and then, Bobby Simmons get up there really quick. He have a blurb or two. He have a little guest speaker, but for the most part, it was just love and hip hop.
Back when cable had the A and B side,
man. I remember those days.
Yeah.
I remember, now that you mention it, just before we even had our own TVs, and my sister and I, shout out sis, her birthday just passed, had our little, 13-inch TV in the living room, just sneaking in the living room in the middle of the night, just watching The Box, me and her, trying to memorize as many songs as we can, going back and forth, fake battling each other, using a hairbrush as a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, we didn't have a TV in our room either. We had to go in mom's room, you know, whenever she wasn't home and stuff like that, and just chill, sit on the bed, watch videos. That's my first memory. Kumo D, I remember that Rob Bass joint, It Takes Two. Remember that video?
Mm-hmm. Back in the days of the innocence.
Yeah. I mean, I get stupid. I mean, outrageous. Do it for me. It may be contagious. Yeah. Those were the good old days. It's amazing how I remember, I can't think of the comedian that said it, but he was he was talking about he went to a child CPR class like a week prior, and he's like, you ask me anything about baby CPR, I have no idea, but you ask me to jingle to some car dealership that I heard when I was 6 years old, and I could sing it verbatim. And that's you asked me what happened. You asked me what I had for lunch today at work, and it would take me a second to try to process that. But you asked me, the lyrics to damn near any Biggie or Jay-Z song that I haven't heard in 20 years.
And it comes right back.
Boom. I got you right now. So that takes me to the next one. First song you ever memorized.
You got this one. I gotta think for a second. First song I've ever memorized.
I know what my song is. And this is going to surprise me. My song, and me and you have never had this conversation, and I don't think we'll do it today. I'm not ready to do it right now. I think people hate me enough from the last episode. I want to put an episode where nobody hates me, and then we can go back to hating me after this one. But yeah, I'm not the biggest Tupac fan. I'll say that. We won't get into it, but I'm not the biggest Tupac fan. I think we're going to do a whole episode on why my black card should be revoked. But like I said, we'll
do that. Not later. The biggest Tupac fan either, but I mean, Tupac has some shit.
Yeah.
So,
the first song I ever memorized was I Get Around.
It's a good song.
Don't ask me why. I was a little kid singing I Get Around, but yeah, I think I did those lyrics as the opening to an episode recently. I did the Shock G part, but yeah, I remember fingertips on the hips don't slip. Gotta get it tight. No, how's it go? Fingertips on the hips. Gotta get a tight grip, don't slip, loose lips, sink ships, it's a trip. I love it when she licks her lips and you watch and put a little twist in the hips. See, I lost it. But that was my first joint. I get around.
For some reason, as soon as you said that, I'm trying to think of one. And now all I can think is rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice, laid back. Well, my mind on money, my money on my mind.
You know what the crazy, my memory of that song is? Is when it first came on, I think MTV, mm-hmm. they played the whole thing, rolling down the street, yeah. smoking, and but they only played it like one time. And then as soon as they played it that first time, the next time they played it, they censored it. It was smoking, yeah. rolling down the street, smoking, like they wouldn't even say yeah. endo. I think they even probably bleeped out gin and juice. They didn't say gin. Like it got sipping censored on
juice
fast.
And juice.
Yeah. It's the same thing with the warning. The first time I saw the warning video, they played the whole, like, even at the end part mm-hmm. where they, you know, the end house and the shootout is happening and all that. They played the whole video the first time I saw it. And then the next time I saw it, they wouldn't play the whole part of the song. So, censorship happened even way back then. Stuff that is commonplace now. Like, you could push getting shot up in the video right now. No issue.
Nobody would care.
Yeah. The Warner. That was my song. Like, yeah, I could probably spit that verbatim. Warning is a dope.
I don't know. I think, let me see, elementary school, for me, just trying to follow my uncle around. Shout out to Pop. It was a lot of Tupac. It's a lot of Biggie. I suck it into that whole East Coast, West Coast beef.
Me too. I think we talked about it.
Didn't really matter. It was good music on both sides. I think it was a beef just for the sake of beef. I thought it was some good music
no good
on both
music
sides.
On the West Coast. It was straight, nah.
So you ain't like nothing Tupac was putting out there?
Nah.
Even when Brenda had a baby? Yeah, you wasn't messing with him when Brenda had a baby?
Brenda got a baby. If you got to pull that one out your ass. Brenda got a baby. Like I said, I'm not trying to be hated today. I'm not trying to spread love. The Brooklyn way.
Lost in a whirlwind, 96 Bonnie and Clyde, me and my girlfriend. You want to make a song about your girlfriend and she was darker than the blackest night? Come on.
Why you trying to get me in trouble? You're trying to get me to say something. I see where you're going. You're trying to get me to say something. I'm trying to be good. Like, you know what? Now that we're talking about it, like the crazy thing is... I probably was more of a R&B kid. So like most of my family, my mother is the youngest of all her siblings. So my first cousins and my aunts and uncles were all much older when I was growing up. So I listened to, like I got hip hop and stuff on the box and the radio, but like most of the time in the house or, you know, with my family, I listened to a lot of old stuff. I listened to a lot of James Brown, Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, Harry Belafonte.
Get up.
My mom was big into show tunes. I had the soundtrack to Oklahoma. I had the soundtrack to, I had a lot of soundtracks. South Pacific.
I want you to know that the fact that you had the soundtrack to Oklahoma, it's going to be brought up again. We're going to have this conversation.
South
right
Pacific,
gonna...
My Fair Lady. A lot of Andrew Lloyd Webber. I had the soundtrack to Les Miserables long before I ever saw the play.
Les Miserables was good though. Yeah. That's.
I was disappointed with that.
You get a pass for Les Miserables.
I was disappointed with that one. That movie they put out. Russell Crowe can't sing. Yeah. That was unfortunate. But that's what I listened to as a kid. And I tell you the first time I heard Jay-Z and when I realized like yeah. Like, I like this, right? I was in South Carolina. My cousin Stacy in South Carolina. I used to go there every summer. And man, I owe Stacy a lot. Like, so he would make these tapes and stuff for me. And I remember he made me this tape because he was big into West Coast. Mm-hmm. The memory came up because we were talking about the West Coast stuff.
Yeah,
he was big into West Coast, and so he made me this tape. And one side was MC8, and the other side was Jay-Z. And I remember putting in the tape, and you know, MC8 had to wake your punk ass up. Like, I remember that joint. And I was MC8. It was too gangster for me. Like, it was too real. It was too gangster for me. And then I flipped to the other side. It was Reasonable Doubt, and that shit was just so smooth. You know, like, yeah. And the first time I heard Dead President, it's like, who won the betters that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever, live treacherous to all the et ceteras, to the death of us, me and my confidants, we shine, y'all feel the ambiance, y'all niggas just rhyme. Like, that's my shit right there.
Dead President was a good album. Yeah.
But that, you know, if you listen to that album, you listen to Reasonable Doubt, it sounds like it was recorded in somebody's bathroom. Like, that's the worst, like,
probably
mixing.
Was. It probably was.
That's the worst audio engineering I think I heard on like, a serious album.
But it was real.
But it was real. Gritty. It was a dope album.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it sounds horrible. From an audio file.
Yeah, I was just about to say it wasn't winning any awards, but obviously, won some awards. So
yeah, it's definitely some songs on it. Regrets, Failing It, The Evils. And don't get me started with that. With Jay-Z, that's my man.
See.
But yeah, my first, ironically, my first song I ever memorized was a Tupac song. So I guess I own something. All right, so we won't be gonna keep. Oh, sorry.
No, I was gonna say something. Go ahead.
No, what?
I was just about to say, I can't remember the first hip hop or rap song I memorized. I remember like just verses here and there, slowly getting them. The first song I ever memorized was actually a song, which is crazy, but R&B song. Excuse me. First album ever bought. I think I told you this. First album ever bought with my own money was Tyrese, Sweet Lady album. Okay.
Man, I feel like I'm not that much older than you. But like, if I tell you the first album I ever bought with my own money, I feel like it's much older than that. And it's worse than the Oklahoma soundtrack.
Man.
The first album I ever bought with my own money, Tevin Campbell. I think T, was that?
I had that. Didn't buy it on my own money, though.
Didn't buy your own money.
You know what? I think the Tyrese one stands out because my sister and I had got our allowance. We were young. I think we were like 11 and 12 or something like that. And we were able to like leave home, get on a bus, go all the way to the mall by ourselves. We're like, oh, we got our allowance. What are we going to get? And then I didn't really have enough money to buy my own album. She didn't have enough money. We ended up putting our money together. But she trumped me. She was, because I think it was close to her birthday or whatever. So I was like, all right. We ended up getting that Tyrese album, Sweet Lady, went straight home. I had a CD player, she didn't, haha. So we ended up playing it on my CD player. But yeah, so that was the first one I remember buying with our own money. But had plenty of albums before that. But then again, we were jacking everybody's albums from the house. Okay. My uncle had a CD or tape that was community property. My aunt E was community property. But then the radio, we were just...
Yeah, just recording off the radio.
Just sitting there, just start, stop, making mixtapes all day. So, I mean, that Tevin Campbell joint was pretty
Tevin
sweet.
Tevin Campbell, the first album I ever purchased with my own money. It's crazy, though, but your impression of Little Rich sounds a lot like Kevin Hart's impression of women when they're crying.
No, don't do it.
That's what I heard when you did that one.
I mean, yeah, but back in the day... I used to listen to a lot of Fugees.
Yeah.
If I Rule the World. I mean, we went to a big family. I was about to say big family barbecue, and that song just came on, and I'm sitting there, young. I'm 33 years old now, but young enough. And my sister and I were just in the cut. We just meeting a lot of the family members from the other side, and all of a sudden I just remember just standing there, bopping my head. Everybody singing, Black Diamonds and Pearls. Man, Jeanette, would it be mine? You just sign up. Like, Nasra, yeah. Yeah, and it just going back and forth from the Fugees to Nas to Lauren back over to Wyclef. It was a dope ass barbecue, and I think that barbecue itself just had me immersed in so much hip hop and so much music. It sort of made me want to find out more.
When I think of like barbecues and stuff from that time period, the song I remember is Arrested Development. That take me to another place.
That was at everybody's barbecue. Hey,
that was a barbecue song right there. What's his name? It's not Stretch. Something Scratch. I forget the headline, the head, whatever you want to call it, from Arrested Development. The front man from Arrested Development. He had an album a couple, I keep saying a couple years, because everything feels like a couple years. I'm realizing how old I am, and when I say a couple years, I might be talking 10 or 15. He had an album way back. He did a solo album. It was pretty dope. Good hip-hop memories. All right, so then let's get to something. Let's get something real personal now. So I don't know if we've discussed it on the podcast before, but you and I both, at one time, maybe still, were rappers. MCs. So, do you remember the first verse you ever wrote or recorded?
So, I remember the first thing I ever actually, like, recorded. Like, home studio built up. Me and my homeboy Lonnie. Sir Lonsworth Bentley. he had the home studio built up or whatever, and we were recording, and I remember the first thing we
recorded. I wasn't laughing at your name. I choked on my...
trying to remember the first thing I wrote. What was the first thing I wrote? That's a good... I remember the first thing I actually recorded. A song called Can't You See. It's actually on our mixtape. Did I play that song for you? I think I played it. So that was the
super... I heard the mixtape.
That was it. So Can't You See was the super explicit,
super sexual, freak song. Yeah.
That was the Get the Draws song. That was that song.
The Get the Draws version 1 playlist will be coming soon.
Yeah, we got to release that. So we got to figure out a way to get our songs on this playlist. This would be a good Get the Draws song. You probably wouldn't get the Draws playing this song. She'll probably walk out.
I got a playlist for that. I call that the freaky. I'm gonna do a Freaky Friday one of these days.
Don't play my song for her. She gonna walk out.
She might like. Hey. We haven't had that discussion. We got had at it. You know the one we had when KB was here. The whole we'll do that when 1-3 comes. Because there's some women that might enjoy that song, and it might get you to draw. I won't go into that.
What about you? What was the first?
So, I was in 10th grade. Me and my boy Chicken Wing. It was his name, Chicken Wing. And me and him was going to be, we was a group. I forget what we called. I think we called ourselves Great Expectations. I don't know. I don't know how we came up with that name, but. Great Expectations was the group.
Were you watching In Living Color?
Maybe. I don't know where
was we that on. Was that In Living Color? Lowered Expectations.
That was Saturday Night Live.
I can't remember where that was from.
Yeah, I don't know where we got Great Expectations. That's a book, right?
Great Expectations is a book.
Great too. Expectations. We're going to have a record label, Sunshine Records. I don't know why it was Sunshine Records, but me and Chicken Wing. And so like this, so this is like... A techie / hip hop story. So back then I was big into that was during my East Coast West Coast beef time. So I was big into New York rap. I had just discovered Noriega. So I was bumping Nori's album, and I was big into The Firm, all that good stuff. And Nori's album had a song Banned from TV. And it was like him, Big Pun. Who else was on? I think The Lox was on there. There's a lot of people on that record. Banned from TV. And at he left enough beat at the end that you could loop it. So this was Windows. Shit. Was this 3.1? It might have been 3. It might have been when I only had a computer that could run 3.1 or 95. I'm not sure. But I used the sound recorder. Remember Windows used to have that sound recorder app? So I had a little microphone. Little, 35 millimeter microphone. So I would play the Nori song with that little bit of beat left at the end. I would record it using that little microphone into the Windows sound recorder. And then you could like copy and paste. Mm-hmm. So I'd get like a loop and then I would expand that loop, you know, until I had enough space to do my verse and then like play the sound in my headphones and then spit my verse in the mics. I like, before I knew that they had software to do it, before Pro Tools and all mm-hmm. this, I was using Windows. You know how long that shit took to like get that shit perfect, to find the loop and then like, you know,
chop it up.
Like that shit took forever. And then it was like a delay. Like you would have to record your vocals in a completely separate, recording session. So it would be a completely separate wave. And then you'd have to like try to put it on top of the other wave. And so there's always like a delay and I would have to like move the vocals to try to get them to fit. And I was adding like reverb. Like when I think about it, like I was doing some like high level.
Yeah. Some mechanical
high shit. Level shit with like no real tools, like with like the dumbest tools of all time. But I like, I spit a verse to the, Band from TV beat. It's whack now, but it was like something like, in the distance, I see money and fame. Set my sights in the right direction and hold my aim. What I felt like be like ice in the summer, cooling your brain. I'm satisfying the hunger, that's why I'm ruling the game. Coming at you with the brawn, but who's the brain? Like, yeah, I'm surprised I still remember that shit. But yeah, that was damn. I got to get over this cold or whatever it is. I'm still not 100%. But that was the first one. That was the first thing I ever recorded. And the first thing I recorded like in a real. Studio environment is what I got tattooed on my arm. Is so my 1-3 who will be here in December. I keep saying it because I can't wait till my boy gets here. But we worked at the Pentagon together, and we would have like we would have Freestyle Friday. Mm-hmm. So we worked there. I worked at a help desk, and we were all like in a cubicle farm. And we all sat like in the same same little 4 cubicle set. And so just on Fridays, instead of going to lunch, we would just like stand up in our cubicles and over the wall, you know, like just like do, we call them freestyles, but we normally like come up with a topic in the beginning of the week and I'd have something written because I can't freestyle, save my life. But he gave me this song that he was working on with somebody and it had space at the end. And so I wrote something And I let him hear it, and he was like, yeah, that's dope. So I went out to his house, and we recorded it in the house. And it was crazy because he was telling me, like, the beat that he made for that song, he lost it. So all he had left of it was that recording.
Yeah.
And so, like, it just so happened my verse fit perfectly, and that there was no, like, at that time, you know, we weren't, like, chopping up stuff. So he didn't have a way to, like, make the song any longer or change anything.
You had to do what you had to do.
It had to fit in that space. And it just so happened that my verse fit perfectly in that space with the song. And it's, first verse I ever recorded. And people really, really took to it. And it made me think I had a shot. It made me think Delusions of Granger.
I mean,
it was a dope verse, though. It was a dope verse. I remember that one, too. One of these days, I'm just going to spit all this stuff for no reason. But yeah, it's tattooed on my arm because I believed in it that much that I was going to be a rapper.
I don't think I ever really wanted to be a rapper. I know it was hella fun going out to the home studio, recording, writing, making that mixtape. And I'd probably do it again. Hey. I mean, but not to down anybody, but all of the little Yachties and everybody.
Hey, everybody's a rapper. I feel like. Now.
Everybody's doing it, so yeah. It's like, F it.
Stop.
We might as well, like, do it. Listen, 2017, dad bod. we out here.
White pants society.
White pants society. Freestyle. No, not freestyle. I can't freestyle to save my life. Nah. I can write.
Yeah, I come in here with mad writtens and just fit them on a beat. But yeah, Nori, if you're listening, I wrote my first ever verse to a beat on your album. I would love to be signed to your podcast platform that you're working on now. I'd love to be a part of Drink Champs. That's my goal. If I have a goal for this podcast, it's to garner enough attention to get get Nori to bring us on.
That'd be pretty fucking dope.
That's a plan.
What would you drink?
What would I drink?
What would you drink?
I'm trying to get some. Man, he has made me want to try Tiger Bone. Like I'm team sober life. I'm on bail right now. Probably gonna be on probation shortly. I gotta go to court on my birthday.
Yeah, that's reckless.
That's fucked up. I gotta go to court on my birthday, but I'm taking it seriously. Have not had a sip since I got arrested, and I am not planning to have a sip at any time soon until this probation or whatever I get, you know, is is taken care of. But when I'm off, when all this is over, I'm trying to find Nori and I'm trying to get some Tiger Bone. I just want to do one shot.
Tiger Bone? That's popular in China? That's illegal?
Yeah, that Tiger Bone.
I had to Google it. Like,
that very Tiger Bone. Yes, yes.
So how I Google Tiger Bone, and what pops up is a picture of Nori.
Nori, yeah. He has made it like, I got to try and I got to know. I got to Nori. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's reckless. That's reckless. This is a picture of motherfucking Nori.
Eye to eye.
Now I feel like
you got to take it eye to eye.
Just because. Yeah.
You got to. It's a dream of mine now. It's like, if I was to be diagnosed with some sort of terminal cancer and like the Make-A-Wish Foundation showed up and they're like, what is your one?
What the hell is in this stuff? And don't say Tiger Bone.
I believe at one point it did have Tiger Bone. I think that's why it was illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's made from exotic animals' remains.
Made
from Tiger
Bone. Tiger Bone. I want to shoot the worm.
Why the fuck would I want to drink a Tiger Bone?
Come on, man. Because you dead.
What else is in this shit?
I don't know. But they drink it and it sounds dope. And the whole eye to eye thing, I got to do the eye to eye. I want to shoot the worm and I want to shot a Tiger Bone. These are my goals in life. I'm a simple man. It doesn't take a lot to make me out. It really doesn't. Nori.
Fuck it.
Nori, come on, man. Come on, Super Thug.
I mean, I wouldn't mind being on Drink Champs either.
I'm trying to be on Drink Champs. But you got to be a legend to be on Drink Champs. So we got work to do. I'm going to get there, though.
Apparently, according to Shook, superstar commenter on his pod, on his comment forum, whatever, it's a Chinese herbal drink. The real shit is supposed to have tiger bones crushed up in it, supposed to make your dick hard. Typical Asian bullshit. What?
Now, I don't know how I feel about being in a room full of dudes with some shit supposed to make your dick hard, but whatever.
Tiger bone wine is a Chinese wine made from tiger bones that are soaked in rice wine and aged, sometimes up to 8 years. What results is a beverage high in alcohol that supposedly boosts the body's health and power.
There you go. Why wouldn't you want to try that, Rich? You don't want to get your health and power boosted? You don't want like a Super Mario 1-Up?
Where is Nori getting Tiger Bone?
I'm sure he can't tell you that. I don't want to know. I get the feeling this is a place that you don't want to be.
Yeah, I don't want to know my damn self.
But I want to take the shot.
Shout out to Nori. Shout out to Tiger Bone.
If you listen to the show, you got to take Tiger Bone shots.
We drinking some super ginseng, looking each other in the eyes. Shout out to Nori.
You're thinking too hard. You're fucking up my dream, man.
That was like three pauses in a row.
You fucking up my dream, man.
We gonna keep going.
All right. Sorry. So that was I think what we were talking about before we got into all that was the first verse wrote or recorded. Let's do your favorite experience recording or performing.
Favorite experience recording. I think one day we were home and we were at Lonnie's home studio and I think we were in. Sorry, I got sidetracked. So I got a reminder set on my phone and it's a sneakerhead thing. The Adidas Yeezy Boost 350 black and white V2s come out tomorrow. And I just got a reminder to remind myself to try to buy these Yeezy 2s. the DGZ 350 boost. Yeah,
you're speaking that language that I don't understand, right?
I'm probably not going to get them. The sneaker community down here in Austin, it's like you got to be like, you got to know somebody or be willing to stand online or do like the lotteries and stuff. And I'm not about to get nobody. I'm 33. I can't be out here standing online outside. I can't be out here trying to pick up tickets and shit and spend and rent money on sneakers. So it is what it is. Favorite recording experience. I think one day when we were recording, actually, Can't You See, he had a home stereo set up. We didn't even finish putting up all of the foam.
Yeah.
The sound dampening, whatever. And we're there and we're like two beers, two mixed drinks, and two shots in. And it's like, so you want to record? And it was like, wait. Another shot. Okay, now let's go. He's like, we didn't know what we was doing. He pulled out his Mac, launched Fruity Loops for a few minutes, and he launched, what the fuck was we recording with? I can't remember what program we were using. Then I just got on a mic, he got on a mic, and we just started going at it. I think we recorded straight for like an hour and a half, just going back and forth, verse for verse for verse for verse. I already had a ton of shit written down. The next morning we woke up, we were hungover, like, yo, what the hell happened? Then we're like, it was like, oh yeah, I think we're recording. And we played it, and it sounded like half decent. So exported it real quick, threw it on my iPhone. He threw it on his iPhone, took it to work. We worked at the same spot. And while we were at work, we're listening to it, and we were like, oh, this could have actually been some. So then we had a couple of friends we were close with that actually did music too.
Yeah.
Let them hear it. They was like, oh, that shit actually came out pretty decent. So we was like, all right, fuck it. So the next night, we was like, all right, tonight, how about we actually do it for real? Recorded for real, came out good. Holy shit. We was like, F it. This is going to be our shit. We just going to keep coming back, keep going hard. We're going to keep recording. That's how we ended up finally getting the mixtape out.
Mixtape going.
Yeah, so.
That's what's up. I was like, yeah, I got a couple, like, one memorable experience. I don't know if you're familiar with King Los.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had Los in the studio once. And my man, 1-3 is like a killer at, it's just like networking and finding his way into these situations. It would just be crazy. Like, you would never know who the next person he was going to meet or the next person that was going to come through. I said, yeah, I remember being in the little home studio with Reg and King Los was there, and he was recording the dope thing. He was recording, I think he was recording his Millie freestyle, which turned out to be like huge, like the thing went crazy, and I remember him recording part of it there with us that night, and the funny thing about it is like you know how when you go. Man, I don't know. I'm saying it like it's just a common thing. But I think like when you're an artist and you go into like another group's area, like this is their studio and this is another like group of people who record another group of artists, it's always like that, you know, you try to find the best one there and see where you are, you know, with that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think at that period of time, like with RDG, Respect the Game, that was our label. I might have been looked at as that guy, and I remember Los being there, and I think he wanted the battle. I'm not a freestyler and stuff like that, but he kept talking to me. I didn't know who he was. I knew he was signed to Bad Boy, but I didn't know like who he was at the time. And I remember him like, you know, talking about, you know, how dope he was, and I heard like some of the bars to the Millie freestyle, and I'm like, this dude is nice. And he was, you know, he was playing stuff for us, and he's, you know, and I'm like, you know, I want to hear one where you really go in. And so he would like play something for me. And I'd be like, nah, I want to hear the one where you really go in. And like looking back on it, I'm pretty sure in his mind, he was playing the one that he felt like he really ran in on. And I was, I don't know if he felt like I was like dissing him at the time. I don't know what I was looking for, but everything he played for me was not what I was looking for. Like, I can hear what you can do. Like, I want to hear the one where you really go.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And he played this one. And I'm like, nah, I want to hear the one where you really go. So, yeah, Los, I hope there's no hard feelings out there. I wasn't trying to, like, sneak diss you or you know, I don't feel like I'm anywhere near on your level. That was just a chance meeting. Then there was another time we were there, and this one is memorable. Because, you know, you always, everybody's a rapper. Yeah, I think we were there, and, you know, you'd always have, like, people who come over to record, and they bring their friends with them. And it was just a bunch of people in the studio that night. And this one particular dude was real drunk, and he swore he was a rapper. So we got him in there, and we put him behind the mic. And he just kept spitting the same line over and over again. I got murder on my mind, and I ain't feeling fine. I got murder on my mind, but I ain't feeling fine. And eventually, I guess the drinks got to him, and he just, like, projectile vomited, like,
damn,
over the wall near the mic. And my boy was just livid, and he just got up, and he's like, everybody out. He's kicking everybody out the studio. And, like, you know, he was beyond 10. Like, he had reached that level of pissivity. I'm, like, grabbing my shit. I didn't know who he was talking to, but I wasn't going to wait to figure it out. I'm, like, grabbing my shit. I didn't have a ride. I'm trying to find a ride with somebody else. And he sees me, like, walking to the door, and he, like, grabbed me. He's like, Flan, sit down. I ain't talking to you. And we got back to recording after that, but that was murder on my mind. I ain't feeling fine. Will always stick out to me. And what was I going to say? My other favorite recording experience is we did a song with my man Ryan from Spine Hitters. We did a song in his studio over a beat from, I want to say it was a Shaft. It had a Shaft sample in it. And it's a dope song. I don't think I've been able to post it anywhere because, you know, most of these places when you post it, they have those little, you know, analyzers that pick up the sample.
Yeah, immediately.
And I'm like, nah, we can't allow this. But it was a dope song. One of my favorite verses I ever wrote personally. And just being there that night with the guys I was there with and recording, it was a great experience. I wish that I could get that one out. I also recorded a song with another artist called Verbose. That's one of my favorites. And just the way that song came together so organically, like we was just there, heard the beat. He had his stuff, and I had something I thought would fit, and we put it together, and it came out. I just those moments when you go from nothing to something,
yeah,
like, and it just happened, you know.
Yeah, when
like, it was no plan. It just all came together.
Yeah, I like that feeling when it's just completely organic. It's not like you're trying to force it. It just comes together just that, and you make something good.
The joy of creation.
Yeah.
You know.
I like that.
And that's what I miss that. I miss that. If anything, I miss being in the studio, that sort of camaraderie and, you know, just ideas bouncing off each other,
yeah,
and making something happen. So
I definitely miss that too.
I think I get some of that.
Is writing.
Yeah.
I love to write.
I did not like to write. Like I got to the point where most of my stuff I wrote in my head. And I wrote it in my head not because, like, I wanted to show off or anything like that, but writing in my head prevented me from overthinking it. Like, if I wrote it down, I had too much time
to give yourself
go
space
back
to second guess
and erase it and whatever. And if I was writing in my head, it was kind of more fluid. I didn't have that much, you know, leeway to rethink and go back and reread and change this word and change that word.
I feel you, because I'm the same way. when I write in my head, it's always initially just like so fluid, but then once I get it down on that piece of paper, I start chopping it up and I just try to make it like so concise and so surgical. Like, yeah, I want just everything to be so perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I'll write it down because the physical act of writing helps me memorize it.
Yeah.
But at that point, that's like all I'm trying to do. All I'm trying to do is memorize it. But yeah, most of my stuff is in my head.
I wish the majority of stuff, like I was laying on our chaise earlier, thinking about music, and I ended up just linking words to phrases to phrases, and then I ended up writing like a whole ass song just like in my head. I wish, and I kept repeating it earlier. I was like, oh shit, this shit is good. I'm gonna keep doing it. And I kept saying it. The more I said it, the more I added to it. It got better and better and better. Then I started watching a movie, and then something else happened, then boom.
It's gone. Yeah.
It's gone. Oh, why did I not write that down? Or at least record it on my voice recorder or something real quick. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah, well, the bars I've lost.
I was just about to say that. Shout out to the bars I've lost.
R.I.P. to the bars.
That's a heartbreaker right there.
Yeah. No doubt.
So So this next one is a tough one. Favorite song of all time.
All time.
Is it even possible? What would my favorite song of all time be?
Yeah, I'm a think while you figure yours out. I'm glad you started.
Because it's so many, so many good songs. So
I feel like no matter what song I say right now, like by the time we post this, I'm like, nah, I should say it.
Yeah, it's because it's always gonna change. I'm trying to think of a song that I can't think of one because there's so many songs that I love that I always sing. Fuck with your soul, Aether. Think you the king, you know me. Got sun across the belly. I prove you lost already. I love that song.
You motherfucker.
You don't like that song?
Nas Lost.
I said, listen, I love that. I'm sorry, I love that track. That track will forever resonate with me. I just love it. I love that track.
A part of how close we could have been just God damn it, Rich. God damn it.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. Next thing I know, you're going to tell me Tupac was better than Biggie or something.
I mean, you're taking it too far.
He about to say it.
No, you taking it too far. What else? I don't know. You might have to take this one.
I don't know. Like, I guess I gotta go with Jay-Z songs because I'm just a huge Jay-Z fan. Right now, I'm trying to decide between, like, Dead Presidents means something to me because of, like, what the path it set me on in terms of hip-hop. Like, the moment I heard that song, I think I wanted to rap, and I wanted to rap like Jay-Z. Like, I wanted to be that cool. I wanted to have that kind of flow and that kind of presence on the record. But one of my favorite records, just for the wordplay and the back and forth and how well they worked together was Brooklyn's Finest. Jay-Z and Biggie. Just so many dope lines in that one. For the 9-6, the only MC with a flu. Yeah, rhyme sick. I be what you're trying to do. Made a fortune off Peru. Extradite, China white, hair on. Nigga, please, like short sleeves, I bear on. Like, God. Like short sleeves, I bear on. That shit was... Brooklyn's Finest is one of my favorites. Just because I can't think of anything better at the moment. I don't know. The What is another one. Biggie and Method Man. Warning. There's too many.
I don't know. Let me see. I did like that. Renegade.
All right. So we got to do it. You brought it up. So we got to do it. Who versed better?
Come on. We all know. Jay-Z is the motherfucker.
Right.
But I love them verse. I'm sorry.
Verse is better? I see you like sidestepping.
Nah, son. I'm going to say M. Come on.
Nah, son.
M.
Nah, son.
Shady.
Nah, son. That to me was like Jay-Z at his finest. Like just like flipping.
I loved M just because people really wasn't expecting him to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting him to do that. That's why I'm saying M. Nobody expected him to do that on Jay's song.
But Jay with his flow and the way, like, I think he definitely competes. Like when he gets on songs with certain people, you know, you get the best Jay. And I think being on the song with Eminem like pulled out some of the best Jay. Whenever we do like discussions like this, I gotta quote lyrics. I gotta go on that one. Like that's some of the best, like, just flipping words I ever heard from Jay. Like, I had to hustle, my back to the wall, ashy knuckles, pockets full with a lot of lint. Not a cent, got a vent. A lot of innocent lives lost on this project bench. What you hollering? Gotta pay rent, bring dollars in. Buy the bodega, iron under my coat, feeling braver. Do rag wrapping my waves up, pockets full of hope. Do not step to me, I'm awkward, a box lefty, and often my pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home. Like, that shit.
Like, I can't front. As you were saying it, I was singing it in my head, and I was like, this is probably one of the greatest verses of my childhood.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can consider that childhood when that came out, but that verse was dope.
That verse was dope.
That's
I never
everyone
I,
can really
I could never get the like I think M was M, but like for J, especially at that time, like M pushed him to another level. Like he, like that. Yeah, I stepped to me that, awkward. I boxed lefty, and often my pops left me. Often my mama wasn't like, ugh.
I used to spit. That's all I can say. I used to hit Lucifer. I had Lucifer on repeat.
Repeat.
I don't. And I used to feel bad because my grandmother's super religious. So I'm up here like Lucifer, and she's like, "What you?" She's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Nothing." But I'm up here singing, "I'm from the murder capital. Will we murder for capital?" And then it's like, "Wait, is she here? Can she hear me?" So it's just like, it's like you gotta hide it, but then you wanna listen to it. I don't know.
That's my M story. Like I used to listen to Rock Bottom from that first album from the Slim Shady LP, like turned all the way up, and my aunt, like it was so depressing of a song. Like my aunt would come to my door, "You okay, baby?" Like people thought I was actually like going through something because I loved that song. I can't even remember. I feel like my head has been shredded like lettuce and cabbage. I'm popping Percocets. I can't remember all the words to it, but that's one of my favorite M songs. I remember the first time I ever heard Eminem. First time I heard "My Name Is," that was like life changer. It's like this is the dopest lyricism I ever heard. Like, damn, I just want to quote lyrics all night. Like, "Hi kids, do you like Primus? Want to see me stick 9-inch nails through each one of my eyelids?"
That was my shit.
Oh man.
Man, you know what song I used to like and play on a regular just because somebody told me this shit? I remember being kicked out the house because I look just like you. Said I'd be nothing but a crook because I look just like you. Like, somebody told me that shit. My grandfather-in-law, my grandmother's second husband, Leroy, whatever. He told me that shit. He told me I was going to be shit. Just like my father, looked just like my father, was going to be shit just like him. And it always resonated with me. So I used to play that shit, "Where Have You Been," like on repeat.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of Beans. But that song, loved it.
Yeah, I think that's the song that Beans said it was one song he regrets doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was that one. Cause yeah, I think it definitely hurt his father or whatever. But yeah, like you said, I related to it. And yeah, that was one of my favorites. I wasn't a big fan of that album, that Dynasty album, mm-mm, but that song.
Just that song.
Yeah, that song was dope.
Damn, right. I barely remember any of the rest of them, but all right, whatever.
All right, so favorite song right now?
Favorite song right now.
And I'm torn on this one. There's so many, a lot of good music out there right now. That I don't know where to go. I say for me, like right now, you know, Layers is still like one of my favorite albums right now. That the Last Royce album.
I was just about to say. Excuse me. Out of all the music I've been listening to, honestly, it was a track on that last Royce. What is this track? It's a track on that last Royce album that I fell in love with. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Hey, there's so many songs on that album. You know, "Wait" is one of my favorites. I know a lot of people like "Tabernacle," and I like the song.
I like "Tabernacle,"
but that song was out before the album dropped, and so I had too much time to, you know, get familiar with that song. That by the time the album dropped, it was the song I was skipping to get to all the new songs I hadn't heard. And "Wait" was definitely a big one for me. "Dope" is a big one for me. Royce is killing it right now.
I think after I heard "Wait" the first time, I was everywhere singing that song.
Yeah.
We would be anywhere. We'd be in line and Renee would be like, "Oh, some guy's trying to get past you. Let him wait." everything.
Hey, I mean,
everybody got to wait for everything. I don't care.
I be in the house in the morning. I know I'm running late for work, and in my head, "Let them wait."
All day. That song gave me such high energy.
Joe Budden right now is dropping like just incredible music. I Gotta Ask is a song I love right now.
So a lot of people have been talking about Joe. I gotta admit, I haven't even listened to Joe's latest just bars. Because it was like, really?
Bars. I put this, and I hope people, I know nobody reads my post, but if you do, you might happen upon some dope shit. But I talked about that because I posted I Gotta Ask, the video for I Gotta Ask on What Is TWS.
Yeah.
And I talked about it like, Joe was an artist that I loved when he first came out. I mean, I was a fan of Pump It Up. I liked the album, though, because he's always been that introspective, talk about myself, you know, down on myself sort of. If you're depressed and you want, you know, to listen to someone and relate to them in your state of depression, I think there's nothing better than Joe Budden. He's not going to help you out of the state of depression, but you won't feel alone. You will not feel alone if you listen to a Joe Budden album. And that's why I loved the first album. I think I stopped liking him because of his persona on Love and Hip Hop. Like, to me, he just made black men look bad. I would watch Love and Hip Hop with Tammy and have to look at her after the episode and be like, you know, I'd never do that to you, right?
You need that immediate, instant reassurance.
Like, you know, I would never do nothing like that. Him and Peter Guns, like,
yeah, no,
just killed it.
No, I ain't no coming back from that.
Just killed it. So, yeah, I stopped liking him as a person, and then that started affecting how I could listen to his music. Like, I couldn't listen to the music anymore without associating the persona with it. Because the Mood Music series, all of those things were just... I wrote so many songs, like, listening to his music and getting inspired, and I would start writing. But his last album is really dope. I haven't gotten a chance to really just sit with it and get into it, but from what I heard, like just from a bars perspective, he's just off the chart. Like, him and Royce, to me right now, as far as the lyricism is concerned,
lyrically, I do like Royce.
Are far ahead.
I do like Royce
of the pack. Like, I don't know who won it with either one of them. You know, the whole Slaughterhouse. I didn't know enough about Joel and King Crooked mm-hmm. before Slaughterhouse. So I haven't, like, gotten into them the way I have Royce and Joe, because I was fans of Royce and Joe before Slaughterhouse. But, right, you know, but right now, to me, you know, Royce and Joe just head and shoulders above the competition. What I'm hearing from Joel, I like. I haven't gotten into a lot of King Crooked. But, yeah, I have high hopes for this Common album to just drop. I'm hoping that's...
So I'm thinking that's gonna be really good. I usually like that type of music. Big fan of To Pimp a Butterfly. Big fan of Untitled Unmastered. So, looking forward to Common's next album. I actually got his last one, and I was bumping that the other day. Thought that was pretty good. But Common has always been one of my favorites.
Yeah,
Common will easily be always one of my top 10. Where'd I put him as a top 5? I feel like Common couldn't make a top 5.
It depends
on what type of top 5.
Yeah, what type? It'd be a real stretch for me. But I gotta give that one to my sister. My sister put me on the Common. The first album of his, I think I heard she had One Day It'll All Make Sense. And Remind Me of Seth was the song she loved, and she would play it on repeat. And that's what got me in the Common. Like Water for Chocolate is probably still my favorite.
Like Water for Chocolate, yeah.
Favorite Common album.
Common has been doing his shit for so long.
Yeah.
But that's the type of music I'm into now. Common, Talib.
Talib, yeah. Talib is one of the few artists to me. Like, a lot of artists, excuse me, later in their career, they're not as sharp. Like, they still make good music, but it's not as sharp and precise as their early stuff. But Talib, in my opinion, has only gotten better.
Yeah.
He gets sharper and more, you know, his ability has a nice seems to grow. To
him. I like him. Miss Hills, one of my favorite tracks ever.
Yeah.
Man,
I miss Lauren as a rapper.
I do miss Lauren as a rapper. Who else? I used to play Lupe.
Oh, yeah.
on a daily, quad daily, like all day, just all day. Lupe was, his last show was, what is it, Tetsuo and Youth, some shit like that.
Yeah, I didn't get into that.
Yeah, it was a stretch from what he used to be, but Lupe has always been my shit.
Yeah, Lupe is up there. Lupe is up there. I wouldn't test him. Yeah, Lupe's I know what shit. He can do. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. So that's bringing us into this this final one. It's the motherfucking
the controversial one.
It's the question of the night. This is what all this has been building to. This is the big payoff here. It's top five.
It's hard to get a top five.
So I say this. Let's do this. Let's say we're not putting them in any order. Just top five.
So what are we trying to do? Top five artists, top five albums, or we just straight up artists?
I wasn't even thinking albums, but now you're doing it.
No. We're going to do top five artists as a whole.
All right. Top five artists as a whole.
Not in any order? Not in any order. And you're probably going to argue with some of these.
Just because I have to.
Just because I already know. Hands down, Jay-Z right. makes my top five every single time.
I'm with y'all. Okay. No argument. Come on, give me something.
If I stretch it out, I put Common in. I don't feel like I can put Common.
Can't do it.
In the top five.
Can't put him in the top five.
Common is my dude, though. I feel like I fucks with Kendrick.
Okay, no argument.
Fucks with Kendrick Hardbody. Pre Tetsuo, I feel like I could have made a really strong case for Lupe.
All right, can't not gonna argue.
Two left. We going old school too?
Top five. No boundaries. I'm not putting any restrictions on you, man.
I feel like.
Do what you feel.
I feel like I got to put Biggie in there. All
right. No, you get no arguments from me so far.
Who else? I have to come back to this last one. Got one left. Let's see.
All right, so I do four for my list, and then we can
bet.
All
right,
we can do. All right, so I'm gonna stick with you with Jay and Biggie, definitely. Man, I'm gonna wait. I'm not saying Kendrick is not in my top five. I'm saying I don't want to throw his name out there just yet, just in case.
Something else pop up.
I'm a. You know what? I'm gonna put three stacks. In my top five.
That's a good one.
Put three stacks in my top
five. I think, I don't want to say the word underrated. I don't feel like he's underrated. I just think that you don't hear his name enough in this type of conversation.
I think the problem that people have, or the problem that even I have with Andre, is that nowadays you get like one incredibly insane verse from him a year. Just quiet. He pops up on a feature, kills it, and then just
like, all right, see you later.
Disappears. He just shows up. And somebody was saying, like, yeah, if you give me a year to write a verse, it'll be the hottest verse you ever heard. Yeah. So I don't know if that's the case, but his body of work speaks for it. So he's an artist that, if I was coming up with a song, I'd want him on it because he's a great artist, but I wouldn't want to rap after him. I'd be afraid to rap out three stacks. So hey, that's three. So we got Biggie, Jay-Z, Andre.
I don't think I'll keep it that far because it's not to cut you off. It's so many that you can squeeze in.
Let's go to 10.
Because I'm forgetting about people because if that's the fact, you got to put three stacks in there. Right. You got to put Yasin Bey in there because...
I
know you're not about to shoot down.
I love him. If we go ten, he's definitely in it. Five, I don't know if I could save a spot for him.
Finish your four.
Because that's three. M got to be in my top five.
M makes everybody's top five. Right. Now that you say it.
We already have four.
M makes everybody's top five.
We at four, and
M is a beast.
And I've been saving Kendrick. So it's like, do I knock Kendrick out to put Yasin in there? I can't do that. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. Can I knock
KDOT off for most?
For most. 10, he's in it. 10, he's in it. No question. 5, I'm not sure. I'm not. Because, you know, the way Royce is doing, like, Royce is working his way up the list. I don't know.
All right,
so, I don't want to put him in the 5. Like,
so,
if we stretch it,
I don't know if I got a hard 10, but I throw Mose in there. Oh. I throw Royce in there. How do I feel about Nas?
Ooh.
I don't know how.
See,
I feel
we
about
haven't
Nas.
Even said Nas' name. So yeah, 5 just won't do it justice. It's not. Yeah, it's too many.
Because Nas,
it's too many. We haven't even.
I feel like.
Nas.
I feel like, and I feel like it's wrong. And that I forgot about Nas because he's pretty.
The only mainstream rapper I ever like wrote a diss record. Nas, I wrote a diss record at Nas. I definitely did. And I can spit bars from that record. I would say, man. Street's disciple, but who's the Judas in your crew? Nigga, you're ruthless. The truth is, there's Judas, it's you. Two-Face, you're stealing the... I can't remember. It's Two-Face kissing the cheek of the hood, then for the silver off selling them to the priest in the woods. Oh. Yeah. Two-Face kissing the cheek of the hood, then for the silver off selling them to the priest in the wood. Like, yeah, I wrote a diss track against Nas, but I won't diss. I won't debate his top 10-ness.
Yeah, Nas is top 10.
I was feeling myself at the time. I was, you know. Yeah, I had beef with Nas. My problem with Nas always has been, it's the same problem I kind of had with Tupac, is that what he is and what he could be. But like Nas, the one mic to Uchiwali and You Owe Me, like
one mic.
That's the stuff that throws me off. Like you either with the people or you're not. Like those records to me were so reckless.
That was
that it hurts his legacy.
I was feeling one mic.
One mic I like, but then
how you go from one mic to Uchiwali? Yeah, I didn't. Uchiwali, wali, uchi, bang, bang. How you go? All I need is one mic. First of all, and I feel stupid for not remembering this off the back of my head, but if it's called Reverse, I'm going to feel stupid.
I think it is.
Yeah.
that is dope.
That's
lyricism. Yeah.
That's pure lyricism.
Pure lyricism.
That was fucking bananas.
Bananas. You could spit.
How the fuck you wrote
a story
that whole shit? He spit the story in reverse.
And lines in reverse. Like certain lines are in reverse like that.
Within the reverse.
Within the reverse.
Yeah. Reverse, reverse. So it's forward. Backwards.
Forward, backwards. Yeah. It's a time paradox.
Shout out to Nas.
Nas. You know what? Here's a line from Nas. And Nas, if you're listening, you're not. But but here's a line that upsets me about you. He's in some song he said, I go by N now. Just one syllable. Nas is one syllable. It's no difference, dude. That's all I heard. I know that's petty, but yeah. I got to put that out. I go by N now, just one syllable. Nas is one syllable. You didn't change
it. Yeah, man. Takes the same amount of time to say it.
I'm petty like that. I'm a grammar Nazi.
But yeah, other than that, like I can't keep it at a hard top 5.
Nas
right.
Got to be in there. Kendrick got to be in there. Yeah. Man, on some days, some of the verses J. Cole puts out there.
I knew you was going to say Cole. See, I don't think Cole makes the top 5, but Cole, there's no argument that you can't put Cole in the top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
Cole makes the top 10. It's Cole World.
Man, who else would I? Like, it's just a lot of room for guys who haven't. Like, we still waiting on this J. Electronica album, but when J. Elect.
When he does it,
when
though,
he does it.
It's
undeniable.
Yeah. Man. So, you know what I find it funny?
Okay.
I gotta laugh at it. Nobody say yay.
Fuck no.
Nobody thinks.
Fuck no.
And it's not just you. I've heard so many top 5 conversations. Top 10 conversations. Nobody ever wants to say yay.
I don't feel like he's a top 10.
What's wrong with Ye?
I just don't feel like he's ever displayed the consistent ability to be a top five lyricist. I mean, and that's because that's what when I look at my top five hip hop artists, I'm looking at lyrical ability. I don't have to agree with your content. I don't have to agree with your persona. I don't have to agree with anything. But you've got to say something on the record that makes me frown my face up and want to run it back. And the percentage of lines, of total lines that Kanye has ever said versus the percentage of those that make me want to rewind and play it again is low.
Touche.
Right, that's just how I feel about him. And he's a dick. So it doesn't help. His personality is not selling him at all.
Well, that's why Ye's not in our top five.
Ye can't be on the top. His name didn't even come to mind. Like, it wasn't even like a.
Yeah, as I'm sitting here, like I just after I rattled all those off, I'm like, nobody said Ye. Nobody ever thinks Ye.
Do we talk about Pun? In this situation, Pun go in the tent?
Pun can make a tent. Right. Big Pun, like Boricua.
Does Pun go in the tent? You know?
Yeah, I was rocking Pun back in the day. Come on, you guys.
I'd have to make a case for Slick Rick. Rick the Ruler. I think he can still do it right now. The originator of this, you know, of storytelling, just the master of storytelling. Slick Rick gotta be in there. It's too many. It's so many.
Yeah, it's too.
I don't think we've identified a 10. I don't think we will identify a 10.
It's you can't. It's too hard to think about. Right.
But that's a great thing for hip hop.
It's the beauty of it.
It's the beauty of it. So many over time, and you know, and guys keep coming out. Even in an era right now where we're complaining about hip hop and the state of hip hop, we're still talking about Kendricks and J. Cole's in the top. You know, in the top 10, being some of the greatest of all time. So. It's not stopping. You got a chance to rapper, I think, you know. I'm not ready to have a top 10 or top 5 discussion with Chance.
No, but I do like what Chance is doing. I like where he's going. I like what Chance is doing.
Yeah.
I like the direction he's going in. Like that he's definitely doing it for himself. He's doing it for the love.
Yeah.
And I could definitely appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I think this was a good. I mean, this was I love. This was what I wanted. I wanted us to do like a I love hip hop episode. Go down memory lane. I like discussing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Remembering songs.
Now that we did hip hop, we definitely have to do an R&B episode. R&B is hard though.
It's hard, but to get the Jaws tape and what I realized today trying to put it together was that it's going to be 10 is not going to do it. So it's going to be several versions.
You're gonna get the Jaws. You gotta. It's so hard. Yeah. You got Kenny Lattimore. You got Luther Vandross.
So my question to my wife was, and maybe as we wrap this episode up, maybe people can shed some light. So thinking about the whole get the Jaws concept, like so in terms of seduction with music, mm-hmm. Do ladies want love songs or do they want sex songs? Like. Because I was thinking about, like, we talked about certain songs, like, about Maxwell's Fortune.
Yeah.
Maxwell's Fortunate, you know, might get you the Jaws, but it'll get you the Jaws because of it's a love song.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing sexual about Fortunate. It's just a smooth love song.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to go.
With the fact love that song,
old school love song.
See, Tammy was like
baby, you know, making music.
The sex. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be several different iterations of this thing. There's some songs that are about making love. Some songs that are about love. Some songs that ain't about making love.
Yeah,
I don't want to say they about fucking. It's about why am I being? This is my podcast. I say what the fuck I want. It's about fucking.
I mean, it's hard.
Because I was about to put some 112 on it, but 112 takes it too far sometimes.
How?
You already know? Favorite position is front or back door?
Touche. You got it. Cookies and cream.
Yeah.
But see, does that even make a... Does cookies and cream go on or get the Jaws?
Peaches and cream, you can't go on and get it. It depends on the girl. They would, I believe there is a woman out there that she want to hear peaches and cream.
No.
I believe it to be true. I believe it's a woman out there that I could play Baby Bend Over for. All right, so that's the end of this episode as the women come back in the house. This was What Is TWS Podcast. Join us again.
Till next time.
All right, peace.